It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Over the last few months, I've had an excessive number of emails concerned about the future. They're concerned about the Constitution of the United States hanging by a thread. There are people who are apparently reading websites critical of the church and have concerns about its history. Others are concerned because last month, on July 20th, the church announced some changes to the temple endowment. People are concerned if things stay the same. People are concerned if things change. It's something that's really sad because it's obviously of great concern to some people. And yet at the same time, for me, there's a little bit of humor in it because I remember these same kinds of questions coming up 30 years ago. The topic was different. The actual questions were different. But the gist of what was behind them is the same. Concern that the church is somehow off track and that the world is off track. And they range from things like asteroids hitting the earth, what if this, what if that. I wanted to talk specifically, though, about the church. There are some who are specifically worried about the church being off track. Some point to Matthew 24:24, which talks about in the last days, even the elect could be deceived. Well, it doesn't say they will be, and it doesn't say the entire church will be. Some point to Doctrine and Covenants section 85 about one mighty and strong, which indicates the church must be put back into order. Now, that is something that I believe has already happened, and Joseph Smith is the one who's mentioned there in section 85. There are those who have all kinds of questions about the church and about whether or not there's going to be another restoration needed in the future. Rest assured, that is not the case. The purpose of this particular show is to reassure people about the future, about the status of the church, about the restoration, and about the church remaining on track. Now, I speak for myself. I certainly don't speak for the church, but I have some wonderful sources here, which are scriptures and church leaders. So, let's take a look at some of the questions that specifically come up and the responses to these, which I think are very important for people to understand because we live in different days in many ways. This is something that is different today than in any other time. During the New Testament era, for example, there were statements of Paul and of Peter and of others about a falling away, about an apostasy. In contrast to that, for example, we have things like this quote in 1850 from Orson Pratt, a church leader. Quote, "The elect today cannot be deceived, for they have an infallible detector of all delusions, however cunningly devised. They have a test by which they can try all things, prove all things, judge all things, and overcome all things, not ordained of God. Close quote. What's he talking about? Well, here's a more direct statement about that from Jedediah M. Grant from February 19th of 1854. Quote, "Let Lucifer mix in truce with error and work great signs and wonders to deceive the very elect. But it is not possible. Why? Because they have learned the priesthood, and they possess the power thereof that cannot be shaken." Here's the important part. "It is not possible for them to deceive the elect of God," close quote. Journal of Discourses, Volume 2, page 15. This is a very important point. There are some who are concerned about the future and about the stability of the church. The church is in good hands. No one will believe that absolutely everything the church does is in accordance with their belief. No two people will believe the same thing about religion or any major issue in every detail. But the church is in good hands. The church is led by God. Listen to Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 26, verse 2, which talks about common consent and how church leaders cannot lead the entire church astray because the church as a whole has the Holy Ghost to be with it. The members do, as well as the leaders. And here's what it says. Quote, "All things shall be done by common consent in the church," close quote. In other words, when we at conference, general conference, state conference, ward conference, raise our hands, we are saying that we support the church leaders. If there ever came a time when a certain church leader were off track and people did not raise their hands, that person would be removed. Doesn't happen very often. It rarely, if ever, happens. But that is a fallback position. And it's a wonderful thing because the idea that the entire church would come off track is highly, highly unlikely. Now, let's go through some of the most fascinating quotes that are somehow often overlooked about the second coming and the restoration. Let's take a look first at Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11, prophet Isaiah is saying, "In that day," meaning the future or the last days, "in that day, in the last days, the Lord shall set his hand again the second time," meaning the second time after Isaiah's day, "to recover the remnant of the people." Now, this is the second time now. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Lehi all saw that Jerusalem would be destroyed shortly after 600 BC, and then there was a restoration that was alluded to by Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lehi, Nephi, Jacob, and others. The second restoration was thus Joseph Smith's restoration, not some later one, as is sometimes claimed by critics. This restoration is what is going on right now. Let's listen to what Isaiah says further about the restoration and what's going to happen in the last days. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. "The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the last days. The Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains." And it goes on to say that all nations shall flow unto it. Now, notice what it does not say. It doesn't say, well, and then later on, everything will fall away and there will need to be another restoration before the second coming. There's nothing like that there. In the last days, before the Lord comes, the Lord's house will be established. It will be here when the second coming occurs. Let's look at Daniel chapter 2, verses 28 through 45. Quote, "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known what shall be in the last days." We'll continue on with his amazing quotes right after this. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. If you have a question or comment about this show, feel free to send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com. martinstanner@gmail.com. Our subject is the church out of kilter? Is it off track? Is it in a state of apostasy? Is there a need for some future restoration? Answer, no. Be of good cheer. All is well. You may not agree with absolutely every detail that's going on. No one does, but the Lord is in charge. Everything will be fine. When we took our break, I was starting on a quote from Daniel chapter 2, beginning in verse 28. "There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known what shall be in the last days." And the quote continues, quote, "The stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." What is the stone that he's talking about that fills the whole earth? Verse 44, quote, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Close quote. Isaiah and Daniel, and especially Daniel here in verse 44, says relevant things that are oh so important. In the last days, there will be a restoration. God's going to set up a kingdom. It will not be destroyed. And it's not going to be left to some other people. It's here. It's now. Quote, "It shall stand forever." Close quote. That should be something that would give comfort to those of you who are concerned about the future. Let's take a look at Malachi, who said something similar as well. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Quote, "I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. But who may abide the day of his coming?" This will be the second coming. "And who shall stand when he appeareth?" Close quote. Before Jesus appears for his second coming, what happens is that he will come to his temple. He will come before there's this widespread second coming. Now, if we reread Malachi, we could do it this way, quote, "I will send my messenger," Moroni, Joseph Smith, take your pick, "and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple in Kirtland, in Salt Lake City, in many of the other Latter-day temples. Who shall abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth?" Well, the answer to that would be those who are prepared and follow what God says. Let's take a look at another wonderful verse. Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, so that the times of refreshing, or perhaps restoration, may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, that is Jesus, who must remain in heaven until the time of universal restoration that God announced long ago through his holy prophets, close quote. Deconstructing that, even during the time of the apostles in Acts, it was being foretold that at some time in the future, there would be a refreshing or a restoration that would be needed. It would be something that God himself would ordain, and he would send his Messiah. He would send Jesus, and Jesus would be in heaven until the time of universal restoration. This is a fascinating thing. Universal restoration, that means it's not just one or two little things. Great restoration, universal restoration that God announced so long ago. I believe that that universal restoration that was to happen by Jesus himself appearing began with the first vision that Joseph Smith had. And it's continued on as Jesus himself appeared many other times to many other prophets and many other people. This is important. Why? Because we should not fear that somehow the restoration is crumbling. It is not. Here's what Joseph Smith said. This is a fascinating key. There are a number of statements to this effect. Many sources quote Joseph Smith as saying something like this. Quote, "I will give you a key that will never rust. If you stay with the majority of the 12 apostles and the records of the church, you will never be led astray." Close quote. That's a quote from Joseph Smith in the Women's Journal, 1906. Here's another one. Quote, "I heard the prophet Joseph say that he would give the saints a key whereby they would never be led away or deceived. And that was, the Lord would never suffer a majority of this people to be led away or deceived by imposters, nor would he allow the records of this church to fall into the hands of the enemy," close quote. Improvement Era, January 5th, 1902. Here's another one, quote, "A key by which you may never be deceived is that a majority of the saints and the records of the church in its history would remain with the church," close quote. You can find this quote from 1989 in Jensen and Stevenson, Infancy of the Church, on page 5. Now, while all these quotes are decades after the death of Joseph Smith, all of these individuals did personally know him. They're independent sources for the same idea that was apparently presented by Joseph Smith. Many of these sources seem to indicate that there was a genuine statement by Joseph Smith that if you stayed with the records of the church, all would be well. And this is something that has been echoed by later church leaders over and over again in the last days. Here's an example from an October 9th, 1921 conference talk by Melvin J. Ballard. Quote, "In connection with the rise of the great work of our Father in heaven in the last days, he declared a new thing, a thing that never was declared to any other dispensation, namely that the work of God in that day would not fail. It should not be overcome, neither shall it be left to another people." You can see now that he's quoting from Daniel. Here's another one. And he's quoting this time from Doctrine and Covenants, section 90, verses 36 and 37. Again, Melvin J. Ballard. Quote, "But verily I say unto you that I, the Lord, will contend with Zion and plead with her strong ones and chasten her until she overcomes and is clean before me. For she shall not be removed out of her place. I, the Lord, have spoken it. close quote. That seems to indicate that we will be all right. There are many, many other places that we could quote Doctrine and Covenants 101. Zion shall not be moved out of her place. There is none other place. There is none other people. Let your heart not be troubled. The future will be well. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.